fourth in the West Division. That's five teams. So Bristol and Greenville currently with the same record in the bottom of the league. So Bristol's nine games back behind Johnson City. Would take sort of a miracle to for Bristol to catch Johnson City. I would say Elizabethan has a shot. They're only 5.5 back with 16 to go. But it would take quite the effort from both these teams. Elizabethan and Johnson City would have to go in the complete wrong direction to make that happen. I know there's a few games between the teams coming up. So we'll see what happens here tonight. Quickly, the lineup for Johnson City. Christian Toledo leads off the designated hitter. Caleb Marmo hits second in center field. Caleb Berry hits third, and he's catching. Logan Sutter hits fourth at third base. Braden Spano hits fifth at first base. Colby Backus hits sixth in left field. Andrew Neal hits seventh at second base. Jonathan Schwerub hits eighth, the shortstop. And in right field, hitting ninth, is Amon Dewberry. Decker stares in, glove above his head, and we're ready to go. First pitch here from Bristol at 7:01 p.m. as a foul ball as Toledo puts the bat on it, hits it down the left field line. Here's a pitch, ground ball towards short. Buchanan a few steps to his right, sets the feet. The throw is low but in time as Gardner sure-handed it first, puts a squeeze on it, and that retires Toledo. It's a 6-3 put out and one out in the first inning. So Caleb Marmo hitting from the left-hand side, steps in the batter's box. Marmo from Walters State. He's sort of had a bit of an adventure. He played high school baseball here in this area in Johnson City, Science Hill, then went off to Wake Forest after a prestigious high school career. First pitch to him, shatters his bat, but a foul ball down the left field line. It'll bounce into the Bristol State Liners bullpen. So for Marmo, started off in Johnson City at Science Hill, then committed to Wake Forest, who's one of the premier baseball programs in the country, then transferred to Walters State, who's one of the powerhouses in the junior college ranks, and spent a good time there, had a great year this year with Walter State, and has since paraded that into another chance at the D1 level. He'll play at Western Kentucky next year. So the Johnson City product heads back to the bat, back to the dugout to grab a new bat after shattering it on the first pitch he saw from Decker. So 0-1 is the count. Marmo hitting .277 on the year, .721 OPS. Here's the 0-1. And Marmo out in front of it just a bit. It's 0-2. Decker's been one of the most valuable pitchers on this Bristol roster. They hand him the ball when they need something done. And not only was he good last year for Bristol, he had a great college year this year as well. 0-2 low and away. It's a ball and two strikes. So Brandon Decker, the righty from Oakland University, was named the Horizon League Reliever of the Year for Oakland this year. The 1-2, up and away, two balls, two strikes. He's become one of the more likable guys on the team. He's a fiery guy. Was first team All Horizon League this year. Just finished shy of his team participating in the NCAA baseball tournament. Here's a number to third, Kinneberg fields, and his throw across in time. Two batters up in the first, two ground outs, and two outs in inning number one. Here comes Caleb Berry. Sorry for the delay there. First pitch into Caleb Berry. Misses down and in. One ball and no strikes. Berry from Milligan University, which is a local school here in Northeast Tennessee. 1-0 popped up down the right field line. This is Arado giving chase. A few state liners in the area, and Arado puts it away just a step inside the foul line. Three up, three down for Brandon Decker, and a great start for the state liners, as they'll look to take a lead when we return in the bottom of the first on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Bristol is one community whose heart is a vibrant downtown. where our unique cultural and historical heritage is celebrated. Believe in Bristol is a nonprofit organization who recognizes the role a vital downtown plays in preserving and furthering our community. For more information, visit www.believeinbristol.org. And thanks for being a Stateliner sponsor.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network. Welcome back. Bottom of the first inning, a pretty seamless top of the first. 1-2-3 inning for Brandon Decker. A couple of ground outs and a fly ball. And that's exactly how Bristol wanted to start the ball game. They'll look to take a lead here in the first. Let's go through the starting lineup for Bristol here in the bottom of the first. Jordan Austin hits first. He's in center field. Eric Arado hits second in right field. Dalton Bargo hits third. He's behind the plate tonight. Again, that's Austin, Arado, and Bargo. 1-2-3. Jake Books in the cleanup spot in left field. Joe Kinneberg hits fifth at third base. Aries Gardner hits sixth at first base. Again, that's Books, Kinneberg, Gardner, 4-5-6. And Trey Oblas hits seventh. He's the designated hitter tonight. Thomas Gould hits eighth at second base. And Seth Buchanan, the shortstop, hits ninth. We already told you Brandon Decker's on the mound for Bristol. And on the mound for Johnson City, it's Aiden Decker Petty. We talked about that in the pregame, that these two teams both have a Decker out there on the rubber for this ball game. Decker Petty, a 19-year-old, plays his college baseball at Indiana University. Had a nice year for them in limited action, just 10 and a third innings for Indiana this year. But he's had quite the season for Johnson City as he comes in with a 2.70 ERA. First pitch to Jordan Austin, misses low. It's ball one. Austin putting together an impressive year. We talked about the all-star potential for Brandon Decker. Jordan Austin could have a case. The 1-0 hit up to center field. This is Marmo coming in, slowing, and he puts it away for the first out of the ballgame in the bottom of the first. So Austin is the first out in the bottom of the inning. And now here's Eric Arado. Now in the last game Bristol played here at home, in the very first inning, Arado hit a two-run shot out to right field, nearly hit a car on the way by, landed up in the road in deep right field. That was his first homer of the year. To go along with the All-Star talk, Arado was another All-Star last year from Bristol. He's probably not going to get there this year. A bit of a slow start in his time here. That's not a slow start, though. First pitch single out the right field is perhaps Arado sort of turning it around a little bit. A single in the first hit of the ball game has a runner on in front of Dalton Bargo. So Dalton Bargo comes hitting from the left-hand side, and it feels like we say this every game, but the year that Dalton Bargo has had, let's just go ahead and keep talking about All-Stars. I would be utterly shocked if Dalton Bargo is not an All-Star in the Appy League coming up in the next couple of weeks. He is in the top 10 in multiple categories throughout the league. As the first pitch to him, Arado runs. The throw is airmailed into center field. So give a stolen base to Arado, and now a runner in scoring position for Dalton Bargo. I can see why the manager, Bill Kinneberg, would want to be aggressive in front of Bargo, getting him into scoring position because Bargo is so good at putting the ball in play. He leads the league in hits and batting average on the year and is, now we've got a balk, it looks like. Aiden Decker Petty tapping his chest with his glove to say, yeah, that was a balk and that was on me. So now it's Arado goes from first to third on a stolen base and a balk. And now a fly ball will score Dalton Bargo. Oh, one pitch. There's another base hit into right field, and it's down. Just like that. Bristol gets a runner on, gets him over, and gets him in. An RBI single for Dalton Bargo. It's his league-leading 41st hit of the year. And Bristol has a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first. So Jake Books, hitting from the left-hand side, steps in as Decker Petty checks on Bargo at first. He's back in there safely. Coming into play tonight, Bargo had a 14-game on-base streak, so bump that up to 15, which is an impressive run for him. First pitch to Books, a good fastball on the outside corner. It's 0-1. Jake Books from Coastal Carolina has made quite the impact. One of these players that sort of joined in the middle of the year. 0-1 skips away from the catcher, Barry, and now Bargo down to second. Things going smoothly for Bristol in the first thus far. It's going to have to be a wild pitch, I would assume, as that would have been a tough block for the catcher, Caleb Barry. So now another runner in scoring position as Bargo down to second, and Books with a single could drive him in. And indeed, it is a wild pitch. Decker Petty takes a look at second base. His fastball misses away. Two balls and a strike. So Books' average at 350, OPS at 919. When the lineup came out today, my first reaction was, this is probably one of Bristol's best lineups this year, especially with Brandon Decker on the mound. 2-1. That one's inside. Three balls and a strike. It kind of feels like, of course, you're trying to win every game you play, but Coach Kinneberg sort of trying to stack it up a little bit to try to end this streak of five straight losses, especially against the top team in the Appy League here in Bristol tonight. Three balls and a strike. The pitch, breaking ball, did not get the zone, and now it's a walk for Jake Books. And three of the first four runners in the first inning have all reached base. Jordan Austin flew out to start the inning, but then a single by Arado, a single by Bargo, and a walk by Books has Bristol in business in the bottom of the first. Here's Joe Kinneberg. Kinneberg leads the team in runs scored this year with 17. His second season in the Appy League. First pitch, breaking ball. There's a strike from Decker Petty. Kinneberg's claim to fame back early in the year, outside of being the son of the manager, Bill Kinneberg, was hitting a walk-off against Kingsport on June the 9th, 6-5 ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning. The 0-1. Curve ball as Kinneberg waves and misses. He's behind 0-2. Kind of another fun thing about Joe Kinneberg, and that is, you know, some people have cool godfathers. I don't know if many people have as cool of a godfather as Joe Kinneberg. His is Terry Francona. 0-2, a soft ground ball to short. Here's the flip to second. All right, our apologies, folks. We missed a pitch there, a strike from Brandon Decker. We've had some Wi-Fi issues here at the field, but they seem to be corrected, so I hope we weren't gone too long there. 0-2 the count on Logan Sutter, who's one of the top hitters in the Appalachian League. 0-2 pitch on the way. Decker tries the outside corner but can't get it. If we needed all the time in this at-bat to talk about Logan Sutter's accomplishments, we'll have to get to those a little bit later. 1-2 inside, two balls, two strikes. You might argue that Sutter has been the most impressive hitter in the league. His teammate Colby Backus won the hitter of the month in the month of June, but Sutter has really been putting a season together. 2-2. Swing and a miss. He'll head down to first on the drop third strike. Bargo fires it down, and there's a strikeout to start the second. First strikeout of the game for Brandon Decker. And here's Braden Spano. So Sutter, Spano, Backus, the first three hitters scheduled here in the second inning. A little bit more local flavor here for Spano, who plays his college ball at Milligan University as well, in their four strike from Decker. Spano currently has an eight-game hit streak. One on the way. Right back up the middle. This is Gould fielding it in shallow right field. His throw was in time, but Gardner couldn't handle the short hop. That should be an infield single for Braden Spano, as that would have been a tough play by Gould. He nearly pulled it off, and that will be the call. So, single for Braden Spano. He now has a 9-game hit streak. And Johnson City has their first base runner of the ball game in front of Colby Backus. All right, we got a full at bat here to talk about Backus, who plays at the University of Tennessee. Another local kid who played high school baseball at Daniel Boone in Gray, Tennessee, which is about a 40-45 minute drive from Bristol, Virginia. First pitch misses the zone. It's one ball, no strikes. Backus leads the league in home runs with 7. It feels like just about any time he could go deep. 1-0 from Decker. Swing and a miss by Backus, 1-1. Among the other categories for Colby on a great year, he's tied for 2nd in the league in extra base hits with 13. He's 4th in the league in RBI, slugging percentage, and total bases. 1-1. That ball comes in low despite the frame job by Bargo. 2 balls, 1 strike. Another one of these players for Johnson City, who's back for another season. This is his 2nd year in a Doughboys uniform. Breaking ball, grounded to 3rd. Kinneberg goes to Gould at 2nd. The throw to 1st. Not in time as Backus turned on the Jets to beat it out. So a fielder's choice for Backus. Spano retired at 2nd. 2 outs, runner at 1st, and here's Andrew Neal. Neal's average currently sitting at .283. OPS at .873, and he's got a good on-base percentage as well at .456, which is tied for 6th in the Appy League. He'll play his college baseball at the University of New Mexico next year. First pitch fouled sharply out of play down the left field line. Brandon Decker has faced 6 hitters thus far for Johnson City. He's retired 5 of them. One hit in the ball game belongs to Braden Spano, and it was an infield single that Thomas Gould nearly made an excellent play on. Here's the 0-1, and it's just off the plate. 1 ball, 1 strike. Now, normally the top of the 2nd inning is my chance to tell everyone about our text line, and we'll get to that here in the inning. But we always love hearing from our listeners. We'll give you that phone number here in just a second, and we'd love to chat with you this evening. Here's the 1-1. Swing and a miss, 1 ball, 2 strikes. Here's that number, 276-285-8780. Again, that's 276-285-8780. Chris Mangrum with you on the State Liners Baseball Network. We'd love for you to introduce yourself and tell us where you're watching from this evening. 1 ball, 2 strikes. Decker, the pitch. Ball just a bit out of the zone. Bargo takes a peek at the runner back as at first, but no business down there. Interesting that Bargo and Backus will be teammates at the University of Tennessee next year. 2-2 the count. Decker looking for another scoreless inning. The pitch, runner goes. It's a ball in the dirt. The throw down. Did they get him? He is out at 2nd base. I'll tell you, that ball was in the dirt. Bargo backhanded it and still made a strong throw to retire his future Tennessee teammate, Colby Backus. So, nice play by the backstop, Bargo. It's 1-0 Bristol as we head to the bottom of the 2nd right after this.
Located in the Highlands of Virginia, Emory and Henry College has devoted itself since 1836 to the belief that education can have a transformative effect on an individual, a place, and ultimately the wider world. The college is consistently ranked among the nation's best private liberal arts institutions, and their faculty have earned more state and national awards than any other college in Virginia. Learn more at www.ehc.edu, and thanks to Emory and Henry for being a Stateliner sponsor.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Bristol. The State Liners an early 1-0 lead after a nice bottom of the first inning. Johnson City scoreless thus far through the first two innings of play. Again, let's hit that text line one more time. We had some internet issues at the top of the second inning, which is normally when we introduce our text line, but we'd love to hear from you tonight. Let us know who you are, where you're watching from. I always love to hear from our regular listeners as well. 276-285-8780. Again, that number one more time, 276-285-8780. Let's get a conversation going. If you got a good story, let me know. We're trying to fill up our 50-state map up here in the broadcast booth. We've got about 25 states colored in from people we've heard from this year in different states, including three other countries as well. Here we go. Bottom of the second. Here's Aries Gardner for his first at-bat of the ballgame. Rips one. Foul. Nearly painted the line down the right field line. Gardner coming into play. 225 average. He's been slumping as of late. Started off the year really strong. No balls, one strike on Gardner. The pitch from Decker Petty. Gardner off the end of the bat. Foul ball over towards the dugout. This is Sutter. Just a few steps onto the warning track, and he squeezes it for out number one. So here's Trey Oblas. It's sort of been a similar story for Oblas and Gardner in this Bristol lineup. They were stalwarts in the middle of the order for a while. Trey Oblas even won the Appalachian League Hitter of the Week a few weeks back after hitting over 500 with five extra base hits. OPS at 1638, just unreal. As a pitch to Oblas, misses down and in. But Oblas has had some struggles with the strikeouts as of late. He leads the team with 30 of them. But he's been having a better eye at the plate lately. Picked up a couple walks a few nights ago. 1-0, ripped out the right center. That ball's going back to the wall, and it'll one-hop the wall. Oblas on his way to second as Marmo slips on the warning track. Oblas touches second, and he's going to pull up with a stand-up triple here with one out in the bottom of the second inning. Not many triples on this team this year. That's only the fourth triple for Bristol on the season, and it belongs to Trey Oblas. And part of that, of course, is because Marmo slipped out there in deep right center field. So Oblas won't complain. He's got a triple. And now Thomas Gould can drive in a run here with a hit or a deep fly ball. First pitch to him called strike one. A lot of turnover, as we mentioned, on this Bristol roster. Thomas Gould, another player who's entered in here late in the season. 0-1 fouled straight back. I'll tell you, I think Bristol's missing their second baseman, Derek Cease, who was on the roster at the start of the year. Got hurt in a ball game on June the 30th against Pulaski. I believe, actually, that game was June the 29th where he got hurt. Here's the 0-2. This is a ground ball to Gould, and Oblas is going to come in to score. Spano thought about going home with it, but Oblas got a good jump. So it'll be an RBI ground out for Thomas Gould after the triple, and Bristol leads 2-0. So here comes Seth Buchanan. Had a little bit of confusion last game with Seth. As first pitch to him, ground ball foul. Seth is well known for his Barbie girl walk-up song. As the Barbie movie coming out next week, I believe. A week from tomorrow. The reason I know that is my wife is planning to go. But the other night, Buchanan was coming up to hit. There were two outs in the inning. Buchanan was on deck. And there was a ground ball to short that looked like a routine play. So our guy that runs the music in the park thought, oh, that's going to be out number three. And this was his inning to play the YMCA rather than the Barbie girl song. And the throw from short was mishandled by the first baseman. The runner ended up being safe, and Buchanan walked up into the box. And rather than hearing Barbie Girl, YMCA started blaring through the entire park. Buchanan lifts one out to left field. Backus has a beat on it. barely has to move, and that's out number three. But Bristol grabs another run in the bottom of the second. It's 2-0 Stateliners. The third inning coming up right after this on the Stateliners Baseball Network.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
For more than 85 years, Paramount Bristol has been a local landmark and cultural anchor of the Twin Cities. This year, multiple live music events are scheduled, including the Gatlin Brothers, Amy Grant, and Trace Adkins. Visit ParamountBristol.org for more information and tickets. Thanks to Paramount Bristol for being a Stateliner sponsor.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Well, the lights are on here in Bristol. They just turned the field lights on throughout the field as the sun beginning to set. We've got some shadows across the field here as Bristol leads Johnson City 2-0. 2 runs, 3 hits, no errors for Bristol. No runs, 1 hit, no errors for Johnson City. First pitch to Andrew Neal, called a strike. Neal was in the batter's box when Colby Backus was thrown out trying to steal to end the second inning, so a fresh count for him. He finds himself behind 0-1. Here's the pitch. Downstairs, ball and one strike. We told you how good Neal is at getting on base. 6th in the league in on-base percentage. Had a homer back on July 1st against the Sock Puppets from Burlington. 1-1, grounded sharply. That's a big hop. It bounced right in front of home plate, bounced over the head of the third baseman, Kinneberg, and that's going to be the second hit of the ball game for Johnson City and a leadoff hit in the third. So here's Jonathan Schwerub, the Doughboy shortstop, with one on and no outs in the inning. First pitch to him. Breaking ball misses outside. Schwerub, if you're just listening to the game, you might be thinking, how do you spell Schwerub? Well, it's X-U-E-R-E-B. As Decker throws over to first base, Neal back in safely. One of those unique last names. One of the more unique names we've had in the league this year. The 1-0 pitch. Ground ball to short. This could be two. Buchanan steps on the bag himself, pats his glove, throw across, got him. 6-3, double play. Seth Buchanan retires two outs on one ground ball, and the bases are clear for Amon Dewberry. So Amon Dewberry hitting ninth in this loaded Johnson City order. Dewberry from Presbyterian. First pitch to him. Outside, ball one. Dewberry had an impressive freshman year at Presbyterian. He was named the Big South Freshman of the Week after their Radford series, as this one's called foul. Courtney Clements nearly taken out by Aries Gardner. Ball hit right at the umpire. Gardner fielded it, but it missed just right of the bag, apparently, as Courtney Clements was trying to get out of the way. A little bit of a protest here by Johnson City's coaching staff, as it seems like there's some chirping. They thought that ball was fair. So Dewberry heads back to the box, as I don't believe they're going to change the call. It's an interesting position to be in for the field umpire. Clements, the ball's coming right at you, but you're supposed to stand your ground. You've got the big Aries Gardner about to run you over. 1-1 misses outside. Two balls and one strike. Dewberry's got some big power. Four homers this year in the Appy League. 2-1. Check swing foul ball. That's a souvenir for a young fan. One of the more interesting stats I came across for Dewberry. He has struck out 18 games in a row. That streak leads the league, as you might imagine. Two balls, two strikes from Decker. There's another one. Drop third strike. Bargo fires down. Now make that 19 games in a row for Dewberry. Brandon Decker has faced the minimum through the first three innings. He's given up two hits, but both base runners have been erased. So 2-0 score, bottom of the third, coming right up after this on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Need to pick up a few things after the game? Visit one of five Food City Bristol locations or shop online and get same-day delivery through Instacart. From frozen food, produce, or snacks, Food City is your one-stop shop for all your food needs. Thanks to Food City for being a Stateliner sponsor.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Great start to the ball game for Bristol here in the bottom of the third. They lead it 2-0. Picked up a run in the first and the second. And they're already back to the top of their order as Jordan Austin will hit for the second time against Aiden Decker Petty. Well, we got a message on our text line. So, saying from the Bargos, Dalton's mom, dad, and Dalton's grandmother will be in town July 22nd through the 26th for a couple of games here in Bristol. So, we're excited for you guys to come down. Here's a first pitch ball to Jordan Austin, who flew out to center field his first time up. Decker Petty comes set from the stretch, 1-0. Here's a ground ball to second base. Neal charges, should be routine, and it is. Austin the first out of the third. I will say, whether it's the Bargos or anybody that's listening, if you come in for a game, be sure to stop by and see me. Now, with that said, looking at the time that you guys are here, July 22nd through the 26th, I'll actually be off the air on the 22nd, 23rd, we've got somebody else filling in for me, but I will be here on the 26th. So on that Wednesday night game against Kingsport, you guys come up and say hello. Would love to meet you guys. Wish you luck, and I'll look and see if I got any spare orange shirts I can give you for the University of Tennessee. All right, here is Eric Arado. First pitch in there, called strike one. Arado scored the first run of the ball game, singled in the first inning, had sort of an adventurous trip around the bases, stole second, reached third on a balk, and then was driven in by Dalton Bargo. 0-1 upstairs, count even. So great pitching performance thus far for Bristol. Has kept the Doughboys off the board, 1-1. Ripped this way to left. So a single to right to start the game. Arado's going to have extra bases here as it bounces up against the wall. He slows into second base. A single and a double for Eric Arado to get the ball game started. So he's feeling it here with a runner in scoring position and one out as Dalton Bargo comes up again. Looks like Dalton's grandpa is going to be coming in for the game as well. So, again, you guys be sure to stop by the booth on the 26th. Would love to meet you all and wish you guys luck with the rest of Dalton's career, which I'll be keeping a close eye on. First pitch to him, called strike one. Again, Bargo had that RBI single in the first. Advanced down to second but was left stranded. Margo, one of the better hitters in the league this year. 0-1. There's a ground ball to short. As Arado advances to third, the throw is just in time. A one hopper, or excuse me, a step is what I meant to say, out there by Bargo. So he's retired, but he does move Arado over to third on the ground out. So a runner 90 feet away from the plate for Jake Books with two outs. Books reached base via the walk last time. He'll hit with the runner at third in this at-bat. First pitch outside, ball one. Bristol scored a run in the first, a run in the second. They've got one in scoring position here in the third, but two outs here in the game. 1-0 upstairs. Two balls and no strikes for Jake Books. There's a breaking ball in for a strike. Again, Eric Arado, the runner at third. As Bristol tries to sneak in a run here for the third consecutive inning. They lead the Doughboys 2-0 in the bottom of the third. Decker Petty, a deep breath in the pitch. Out to right field. Is it going to get down? It will, in front of Marmo. So keep the streak alive. An RBI single for Jake Books. Bristol scored one in the first, one in the second, and now one in the third, and they lead Johnson City 3-0. If you could score a run every inning, I think things would be going pretty well for this team, especially with the pitching that they've gotten from Brandon Decker. They're still not done, though. Two outs in the inning. Runner at first after the RBI single by Jake Books, and here's Joe Kinneberg. And that pitch, oh, it hit off of Kinneberg's bat. He was trying to get out of the way, and I'm just going to tell you, his dad is not going to be happy that he didn't get that bat out of the way. That's one of those things they teach you in Little League ball and so on. That ball comes at you, you turn the back and hide that bat. Well, that ball, that pitch snuck behind the back of Kinneberg and went foul off of his bat. So, 1-0. There's a strike. I think it's strike two. The board here says 1-1, but I'm pretty sure that was a foul ball. And, yes, I believe that is correct. So, scoreboard says 1-1. The count is 0-2 to Joe Kinneberg. The pitch. Off the end of the bat, a spinner down the right foul line here at first base. But it'll spin out of play. So 0-2. Kinneberg had his first home run of the Appy League season last week against Johnson City. So one ball, two strikes. 0-2, as the board's still not correct out here. The pitch. Kinneberg in off the fist, down the right field line. And a nice play made out there in the bullpen for Johnson City. Danny Infante, I believe, the infielder, was sitting down in the bullpen for Johnson City and reached out and caught that foul ball. Unfortunately, not an out for Johnson City just yet. One ball, two strikes. Kinneberg reaches, Aries Gardner would hit next. Here's the 1-2. And Kinneberg fouls it off. I keep saying 1-2 because the scoreboard is still wrong. My apologies. Typically take one last peek at that scoreboard before I watch the pitch. So no balls and two strikes, and they've all been foul balls here for Kinneberg, who's gotten the bat on it every time. The first pitch, he didn't mean to, though. Here's the 0-2. Kinneberg hits one sharply to center. Marmo having trouble with it. A dive, and he can't come up with it. So Books around second. He goes to third. They're going to send him home. Here's the relay throw, and he's under it. Marmo had some trouble with the hit out in center field. Books was on his horse all the way around first, and he's able to slide in safely despite a protest by Johnson City's manager. But it's as it stands now, it's a 3-0 ball game as Bristol's added two runs here in the bottom of the third. like the manager, Kevin Mahoney, is having a conversation with our home plate umpire. Mark D'Amelio, Courtney Clements, the pair of umpires this evening. Waiting to see how they score this. I guess you scored a hit. It looked like maybe it should have been caught out there in center, but we'll see if they give Kinneberg a single or a double. No, they gave him a double. So a double for Kinneberg, an RBI double at that, as Books comes all the way around to score. 3-0 Bristol, and here's Aries Gardner with two outs and a runner at second. First pitch, tries to check his swing but can't, as it's 0-1. Gardner earlier today, in his only at-bat, flew out in foul ground to the third baseman, Sutter. Kinneberg, the runner at second. The 0-1 pitch. Gardner out in front of it. Big cut, but just missed it. No balls, two strikes. So 0-2. As Decker Petty looks to finish this inning and get out of the jam here. Here's a pitch, 0-2. Gardner swinging a miss. So a strikeout ends the third. But not before Bristol adds two more runs in the bottom of the inning. They lead first place Johnson City 4-0. We'll be back with the fourth inning right after this on the State Liners Baseball Network.
At the birthplace of Country Music Museum, we're preserving the past and paving the way to the future, where generations teach each other, where you can learn from the greats or craft your own tune, where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together, where you can really get into the music. At the birthplace of country music, discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Welcome back. Top of the fourth inning. Bristol leading Johnson City 4-0. They've picked up at least one run in each inning thus far. In the bottom of the first, Eric Arado reached base safely on a single, and he was driven in by Dalton Bargo on an RBI single to make it 1-0. In the second inning, Trey Oblas hit a triple and was driven in on a ground out by Thomas Gould to make it a 2-0 ball game. And then just now in the third, Eric Arado with one out doubled. Jake Books drove him in on a RBI single. And then Joe Kinneberg drove Books in from first base on an RBI double to make it 4-0 through three innings, as we're ready to go in inning number four, as it's Christian Toledo for the second time today. Brandon Decker, the pitcher. Pitch inside, a nice fastball from Decker. It's 1-0. Decker has faced the minimum today. Sort of been interesting, as he's allowed two base hits, but one was retired on a stolen, on a caught stealing, and the other on a double play. 1-0 in there for a strike. Now, this is part of why we ask you all to send us messages throughout the ballgame. We got a great story about Brandon. 1-1, foul ball out of play. That gives us time to talk about it. So we got a message from Brandon Decker's grandmother, the starting pitcher here tonight for Bristol. Says, listening and watching from my hospital bed after having major surgery today, just a diehard fan of Brandon's. Do your thing, B, from Grand Rapids, Michigan. 1-2, misses upstairs, two balls and two strikes. I'll tell you what, I think Brandon's pitching with a little extra oomph tonight, perhaps for you, Grandma. So 2-2 the count. And it's outside, three balls and two strikes. It's just some of the things that you could never find out unless you have this ability for this text line. We love this thing. And we love to hear from you guys. Here's a 3-2 pitch to Toledo. Inside, ball four. First walk of the ball game for Brandon Decker. And it's the second straight inning that Johnson City's gotten the leadoff hitter on. If Decker wants to keep this streak up with the minimum, facing the minimum, he's going to need a double play or a pickoff here. So it looks like we got a pinch hitter here for Johnson City. As we told you, Caleb Marmo, the center fielder for Johnson City, had a little trouble with the ball out in center field. Well, Johnson City is making a change as Cameron King has come into the ball game, the freshman from Bethune-Cookman. So hope Marmo's okay. As a throw over to first, Toledo back in safely. Gives us a chance to get you some info on Cameron King, who did not play in 2023 in college. First pitch he sees fouled down the left field line. So since we don't have any stats for you from his college days, we'll try to pull some up here from this season. King hitting 309, 81 at-bats. He's got 25 hits, 11 RBI. On-base percentage up at 396. Check the first. 0-1 the count. Runner on first, no outs. Cameron King has just entered the ballgame. There's another strike from Decker as it's across the zone. 0-2. No balls, two strikes to count. Decker misses outside. Back picked by Bargo. The throw was a little wide. Big lead out there by Toledo. One ball and two strikes. The pitch. Ooh, did it hit King? Wow, they're going to say it's strike three. They're going to say he went around. They say he went around and the ball hit him, which is strike three. So King back to the dugout, unable to hold up on his swing on that pitch going in towards him. So a strikeout for Decker. And that's the first out of the fourth. That's the third strikeout of the game for Brandon Decker. So here comes Caleb Berry. Berry flew out to right field in his first at-bat today. And if Decker could get a ground ball, maybe he could face the minimum for a fourth straight inning. This one is a ground ball, but fouled off the leg of Caleb Berry. I think Berry swung at an early pitch there. We didn't get to talk much about him, but Berry plays at Milligan University. We talked a little bit about that. Had an impressive year for the Buffaloes, 346 average, 24 extra base hits, 10 homers, 418 on base percentage over at Milligan this year. So quite the campaign for the redshirt sophomore. 0-1. Sharply grounded through the hole on the left side, and there's a base hit. So second base runner in the inning. That is the third hit of the ball game for Johnson City, and they've got two on with one out here in the fourth inning. Caleb Berry, fourth in the league in batting average, 354. That just went up on that base hit. And here comes Logan Sutter, a dangerous hitter in this Johnson City order, looking to get Johnson City on the board here. Decker's first offering. Hit out to right. It's going to get down in front of Arado. He'll get it in quickly, and they're going to hold the runner at third. So back-to-back singles here in the fourth have loaded the bases. And here comes Braden Spano. I promise we've got a long list of accomplishments to talk about for Logan Sutter, who's off to Purdue next year. But he just keeps having some quick at-bats. All right, Braden Spano, another Milligan guy, upped his hit streak to 9 straight games last inning. Another local kid from Greenville High School. Big spot here. Ground ball towards third, foul. And the... I guess that's the hitting coach, Wayne Reiser. Had a Sunday hop over there in the third base coach's box and couldn't make the play. So 0-1 the count. The whole facing the minimum thing is over for Decker, but he still has a chance to put up a scoreless inning if he gets a ground ball here. The 0-1. Nice pitch by Decker as he was Spano was fooled a bit on the breaking ball. So Toledo stands at third. Berry at second, Sutter the runner at first, Decker trying to get a ground ball here up the middle to turn two and keep The Doughboys off the board yet again. Here's the 0-2. This one hit out the deep center. That will definitely score a run. Austin loses his hat, makes the catch in right center field, covered a lot of ground. Toledo does tag up and score, but that could have been much worse if Austin was unable to get to the baseball. So Toledo comes in. Spano picks up an RBI on the sacrifice fly. There's two outs in the inning, and the score is 4-1 in favor of Bristol. Johnson City's got runners on the corners, as Caleb Berry did also tag up and move up to third base. And here's the dangerous Colby Backus. Backus, we told you earlier, leads the league in home runs. So with one swing of the bat, it could be a tie ball game. And a late time called, I believe, by Backus. It's a good matchup earlier between Backus and Decker. Backus grounded into a fielder's choice and then was thrown out trying to steal second base. So two outs in the inning. First pitch to Backus, hit hard to third. Kinneberg there, though, squares the shoulders. His throw across is in time. And Johnson City loads the bases. They get one across in the fourth, but a nice hold by Bristol's pitching staff, Brandon Decker, and the defense. A nice play out there by Jordan Austin to keep the Doughboys at one run. 4-1 our score. Bottom of the fourth coming up right after this on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Or craft your own tune. Where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together. Where you can really get into the music. At the birthplace of country music. Discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Bristol, Boyce Cox Field. Chris Mangrum with you on the State Liners Baseball Network. Bristol leads Johnson City 4-1, as Bristol's not been held off the scoreboard in any inning thus far. One in the first, one in the second, two in the third to make it a 4-0 ball game. Johnson City got a run across there in the last inning after having a few base runners reach. Christian Toledo, after a leadoff walk, comes in to score on a sacrifice fly by Braden Spano. And that's how we get our score, 4-1. 7-8-9 scheduled for Bristol, Oblas, Gould, and Buchanan. Got another message from our family from Florida, Drew and Vicky Nolan. You guys watch every time. Say, checking in from Florida. We fly to Bristol next Thursday to watch a few games. We'll make sure to stop by and say hi. Would love to meet you guys. I am calling the game Thursday and Friday next week. I'll be off Saturday, Sunday. So make sure you come see me on Thursday or Friday. As first pitch inside to Oblas, inside ball one. Next weekend is a four-game homestand. That's a really good time to come in and watch a few games. As after that four-game homestand, there's only three games at home left this year. 1-0 the count to Oblas. The pitch from Decker Petty. Swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. Thus far for Oblas, how about a triple and a run scored? As Oblas hit one into deep right center, the center fielder Caleb Marmo slipped on the warning track to allow Oblas to advance to third. 1-1, a swing and a miss up high. One ball, two strikes. So 1-2 the count. Oblas trying to reach for a second time. Fouled straight back off the pole. Now, we've had some sharp foul balls this year. And if you know anything about Boyce Cox Field, you know that we're in danger zone up here on a foul ball if it just clears that netting. We got to be on our toes up here in the booth. 1-2 the count outside. 2-2. I've got my buddy Skyler here with me tonight. He is shadowing the broadcast because he's going to be filling in for me for a couple of games next weekend. And this is as much a warning to him as it is information for you. You better be on the lookout. 2-2. Breaking ball. Oblast spoils it. Slaps one foul. So, again, Oblast's cool honor that he was named the hitter of the week a few weeks back in the Appy League after just an excellent week. He is tied for the team lead in doubles as well with 6. 2-2. Oblast just gets a piece of it. Now, we've said this a couple times, but we've got a lot of Utah flavor on the roster. The manager, Bill Kinneberg, was the manager at Utah for many, many years before retiring, and this was his next job after retiring with Utah. He's being the manager here for the Stateliners. Oblast, one of those Utah guys, 2-2. Chopped out to first, a high one. Spano goes back fields, but he's not going to be able to get it to his pitcher in time. I'll tell you, Spano made a nice play. He had to range back into shallow right field to field that ball, and DeCarpetti was a little bit late getting over to the bag, and Oblast gets his second hit of the ball game. There's a single to lead off the fourth. Did want to mention, if you watched our last contest against Elizabethan on Tuesday night, you saw what was kind of a scary situation here on the field. As they check on Oblast, he's safe. What we later found out was that a player in Bristol's dugout was hit by a ball coming in from the field. You know, the fielders take a baseball out, get loose in between innings. The throw apparently got wild, came in and hit a player in Bristol's dugout, and they had to get an ambulance on the field. As the first pitch misses outside to Gould, one ball, no strikes. So the ambulance comes on the field. We're kind of stuck up here in the press box, not really knowing what's going on. I've got many of you all, the parents of the Stateliner players, messaging me saying, is my son okay? Is my son okay? And I was hoping that I'd be able to tell you the answer as a 1-0 to Gould in there for a strike. In fact, the player was Joe Cardinale, who's also one of these Utah guys that we talked about. At least that's where they played their freshman year. Many of these Utah players are currently transferring out of there. But we got good news on Cardinale. He seems to be doing better as the 1-1, lifted out to center field by Gould. Again, this is King, who's replaced Marmo out in center field, and he puts it away for the first out of the fourth. So to wrap up the story, Cardinale was taken off the field by an ambulance the other night and was taken out to the Bristol Regional Medical Center where they ran some tests to make sure. We think the ball hit him in the head, and from what I was told, this is not confirmed, but maybe the back of the head, he wasn't even expecting, didn't even see it. And so that was why they were really cautious, got the ambulance here, took him out, throw over to first, and Oblast back in time. But we did get a positive report that Cardinale was checked out of the hospital. Everything was okay, and he was actually removed from the Bristol roster. He's headed back home, I assume. So we wish nothing but the best to Joe and his family. As the pitch in there to Buchanan, a strike on a breaking ball. I know many of you were had thoughts and prayers for Joe, and we're glad to hear he's doing better. I did chat with his mother briefly on text message the night that it happened. She was thankful for all the thoughts and prayers that you guys offered. 0-1, Buchanan sharply fouled out of play. In fact, Joe's mom messaged us on our text line. She was one of the parents that said, is my son okay? And so I'm sitting there, and I had heard it was Joe, but I didn't know if it was Joe or not, and I didn't want to say anything and get a frenzy started, but it all worked out. 0-2, another foul ball by Buchanan. Could have been much worse, of course, and not the first time I've been a part of a game where an ambulance had to come on the field and take a player off the field. Sort of a unique circumstance that I've seen a couple times now. But most importantly, glad everybody's okay. 0-2 the count, Buchanan the hitter. Ground ball to third, fielded by Sutter. He'll go to second for one, Neal to first. Nifty double play. That all started with the effort by Sutter at third base. It's a 5-4-3 double play. Three hitters come to the plate in the inning. So DeCarpetti faces the minimum. 4-1, our score, fifth inning, coming up next on the State Liners Baseball Network.
What kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Many of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire-roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their three locations in Bristol and Johnson City. Thanks to Cootie Brown's for being a Stateliner sponsor.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Bristol. 4-1 is our score. Bristol out in front of Johnson City as we head to the fifth inning. It's been a great pitching effort by Brandon Decker thus far for the Stateliners, as he has now thrown four innings, three strikeouts, only one earned run, and 52 pitches. So it is 7-8-9, Neil Schwerub Dewberry, the three scheduled doughboys. Here's the 3-2. Breaking ball, strike three called. On the swing as Schwerub down on strikes, two up, two down in the fifth. And this inning looking a lot like some of the other innings we've seen from Decker thus far. We were pondering whether or not Decker might end up being an all-star this year. This start against the top team in the league very well may solidify that status. Here's Amon Dewberry. Ground ball on the first pitch. Decker fields. He'll just take it himself. Brandon Decker, just go and play the game yourself, young man. Three up, three down yet again in the fifth. Brandon Decker's through five. He's only given up one run. And the Stateliners out in front. We'll be right back on the Stateliners Baseball Network after this.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire-roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their three...
Fifth inning and Arado steps in. Well, Eric Arado has had quite the night. A single in the first, a double in the third... I mean, we're big on patterns here in the booth. Triple coming next. So, since that was ruled and out at first, you got to give credit to Logan Sutter, who made a nice defensive play. He shows you he's got the defense to go with the offense. Here's a pitch. Strike one. We told you Arado has struggled a little bit coming into play, but that average, especially when you get two hits in a row, that average is climbing a bit. 233 now. 0-1. This one hit off the hands sharply down the right field line. Foul. Arado has been an excellent. He's had an excellent year. Especially if you start back with his season here with Bristol last year, where he hit .388, had a .492 on base percentage. That's part of the reason he was an All Star in the league last year, and he just continued that at Northern Illinois this spring as the 0-2 off the plate. Arado, .264 average, 12 extra base hits, but the on-base percentage is where it's at. .424 for Arado up at Northern Illinois this year, and set a single-season record with 51 walks for the school. 1-2 fouled straight back. Among his other accomplishments this year for Northern Illinois, academic All-MAC, he was second in the MAC with 25 stolen bases, the first Husky with more than 20 steals since 2013, led the team in runs, OBP, had a 14-game on-base streak in the season as well. So you see why everybody loves Eric Arado. 1-2 upstairs, 2-2 as he shows off that good eye at the plate. He's kind of become a fan favorite here in Bristol, along with Brandon Decker, who is pitching a gem thus far for the State Liners. 2-2 count, the pitch. Arado works it full, doing what he does. So 3 balls, 2 strikes. Here's a pitch from Decker Petty. Arado spoils one into the hill. So full count, 1 out, bottom of the 5th. Bristol leads 4-1. They grabbed a run in the 1st, a run in the 2nd, and 2 in the 3rd. Before Johnson City grabbed a run in the 4th inning to make it a 4-1 ball game. Another 3-2. Breaking ball, ball 4. Eric Arado does what he does. This is the 3rd straight time he's reached base tonight. Single, double, walk. So a runner on in front of Dalton Bargo for the 3rd straight time. In the 1st inning, Bargo drove Arado in with an RBI single. Bargo then grounded out to short in the 3rd inning. That did allow Arado to move to 3rd base, and he eventually scored. So perhaps Arado can score his 3rd run of the day, 1 out in the inning. Is Dalton Bargo ready to go? First pitch to him. Down and in, ball 1. Haven't heard when the All-Star announcements are going to be for the All-Star game, which takes place, I believe, July 25th, which is coming up quickly. Throw over to first. Arado back in with a face full of dirt. I would assume those rosters are going to come out shortly since the game is a week and a half away. One ball, no strikes. Here's the pitch. Outside ball 2. Barry thought that Arado might take off, and he did not. We told you about his speed. Stole more than 20 bags at Northern Illinois this year, so certainly a threat to go. He stole second base earlier in the ball game, back in the 1st inning. 2-0 the count. The pitch to Bargo. Swing, a ground ball to first base. They'll try to get Arado the lead runner, and they will, but Bargo beats out the play at first. Thought for a moment Spano might just field that slow grounder and step on the bag, but he is able to get the lead runner, Arado. Bargo reaches on a fielder's choice. Arado is the 2nd out of the inning, and here's Jake Books. Books has also reached base in both of his appearances today, a walk and an RBI single. And a run scored for Books. The top of this order has really come through for the State Liners tonight. First pitch to Books. Up and in, ball 1. Thus far for Decker Petty's, up around 70 pitches, 4 1/3 innings, 4 earned runs, and just 1 strikeout thus far. That belongs to Aries Gardner for Bristol. 1-0, the pitch. Books spits on it, breaking ball in there for a strike. Not exactly the pitch you're looking for on 1-0, so he'll take it. One ball, 1 strike. Decker Petty in the stretch, as he's been all night long. 1-1 way outside. I want to say hello to the O'Neills from New Jersey, watching us once again. Again, a reminder, folks, shoot us a message on our text line if you're watching, 276-285-8780. Here's a 2-1. Ball outside, now 3-1. We do see an arm getting loose down the right field line for Johnson City. It looks like it's Jacob Poe, senior from Milligan, from best we can tell from here. 3-1 count, the pitch to Books. Good swing. He fouled it straight back and heard some heads calls there as it was headed for a few fans. We're kind of blocked from where the foul balls actually end up going, but heard a fan yell, "Come on, Jimmy." Assuming you got to make a play on that ball. 3-2. Bargo will get a head start with two outs. There he goes. The pitch. Books over towards second. Fielded by Neal on the edge of the grass. And there is out number three. So Bristol does get a walk with one out. But Johnson City able to escape the jam with no further damage. Our score is still 4-1 here as we head to the sixth right after this on the State Liners Baseball Network.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at ManageYourBP.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Bristol is one community whose heart is a vibrant downtown, where our unique cultural and historical heritage is celebrated. Believe in Bristol is a nonprofit organization who recognizes the role a vital downtown plays in preserving and furthering our community. For more information, visit www.believeinbristol.org. And thanks for being a Stateliner sponsor.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Back in Bristol, Virginia, Boyce Cox Field, home of the Bristol Stateliners. I'm Chris Mangrum on the Stateliners Baseball Network. We thank you for tuning in. As always, one last shout-out here. We talked about it last inning, but another chance for you. Shoot us a message. We've had a few tonight already on our text line, 276-285-8780. Again, that number one more time, 276-285-8780. We've heard from a few of our regulars already tonight, but also a few newbies as well. So, always fun to hear all the different states that are represented by our viewership. Had some Michigan tonight, Florida, New Jersey, as well as the, I believe that's Nebraska as well. So, you kind of see the reach that we get all over. So, top of the sixth, this is the top of the order as well. First pitch from Decker called a strike to Christian Toledo, who scored the only run of the game thus far for Johnson City. He led off the fourth with a walk, advanced to third on a couple of singles, and scored on a sac fly. That RBI belongs to Braden Spano. So one ball, one strike, the count to Christian Toledo, the designated hitter who's hitting .300 as of now. 1-1. That's a good swing, but a foul ball out of play. Over on the Virginia High football field to our right. Toledo plays his college baseball, not at Toledo, but Allegheny College of Maryland, where he had a great year. 1-2 from Decker. Strike three. First time Toledo has been down on strikes tonight. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, five strikeouts for Brandon Decker. What a game he's having. As here's Cameron King. Now, if you missed it, King did not start the ball game. He's subbed in for Caleb Marmo, who came out of the game after what we think was maybe an injury situation in center field. Cameron King fouls the first pitch off. I think it got a piece of Bargo, but I think he's all right. So King struck out in his first at-bat today. That was in the fourth inning. But the interesting thing was it was kind of an odd strikeout. He got hit by the pitch, but the umpire said he went around, so that was a dead ball strike. 0-1, swing and a miss. 0-2 now. As King, who's come off the bench, finds himself behind Brandon Decker, who is making a strong case tonight as one of the top pitchers across the league. 0-2 from Brandon. Over to second base, a few hops to Gould, and whoa, an airmailed throw, and it goes into the dugout. That should have been routine. It was hit sharply at Gould. He had plenty of time, and even the very tall, 6'4" Aries Gardner could not go up to get it. So maybe it slipped out of the hand of Gould. That's an error if you've ever seen one on Thomas Gould. So Gould now at second, King now at second base after the error, and the ball goes out of play to allow an extra base. So what should be two outs, none on, opens up a potential situation here for Caleb Berry. It's 3-4-5 with a runner at second and one out. Big lead by King as Decker. Absolutely not going to let King have that big of a lead as he steps off and takes a peek at him. Berry singled his last time up. First pitch, breaking ball, up and in. So Berry, we told you he's fourth in the league in average, 354. He's tied for fifth in the league in doubles with eight. One ball, no strikes. Big lead again by King out there. The pitch, up and in again, 2-0. So Berry, as the throw nearly goes into center field, retrieved by Gould. So Berry is a local kid. He played high school ball down in Knoxville, Knoxville Halls High School. If you're in East Tennessee area, you probably have heard of that. He played previously at Lincoln Memorial University before transferring over to Milligan. 2-0. Breaking ball, that one's in there for a strike. Now, Barry's catching tonight, but he plays a little bit of outfield as well for this Johnson City team. And he made a nice play earlier this year for Milligan that sort of went semi-viral on Twitter. He was playing right field, chased a foul ball down the right field line, and jumped the wall to make the catch. 2-1 up high, 3-1 the count. So Berry is quite the player. Milligan has got a good one down there for the Buffaloes. Got a handful of Milligan players on this roster. As our own Josh Buckles would say, go Buffs. Pickoff throw to second. Nice swipe tag by Gould, but King just back in time. I told you he's got a big lead out there at second base. And as Johnson City's announcer is referencing here, he thinks that the way that King dances around on the bases can sometimes be a bit distracting for opposing pitchers. 3-1. And I think that hit Berry, and it did. So Berry heads down to first base. It was going to be ball four anyways. So big, bit of a spot here for Decker. He forced a routine ground ball that should have retired King, but the error extended the inning, and now Berry hit with the pitch. So wise move by Dalton Bargo to head out to the mound and have a quick chat with his pitcher, who's outside of this inning been pretty good. Decker's line tonight thus far, 5 1/3, 4 hits, 1 earned, 5 strikeouts and 1 walk, and then, of course, the hit by pitch as well. Decker at 74 pitches. So we'll try to take a peek at sort of his game log and see about how far we think he might be able to go. As the pitch to Logan Sutter misses downstairs, 1 ball, no strikes. Now Sutter, maybe we can rattle off some of his stats here as we find this. Sutter, when reaching base last time up with a single, extended his on-base streak to 17. All right, Ted Power's going to head out and chat with Decker, so we get to just recap everything. Kind of some well-timed visit to the mound here. So, first, with Logan Sutter, 17 games in a row he's been on base. He's got a 3-game extra base hit streak that is on the line tonight. He's fifth in the league in batting average at .346. He's tied for third in the league in homers with 6. Second most RBIs with 29. He's second in the league in slugging, OPS, and hits. So he only trails Dalton Bargo in base hits. He's got 37. He leads the league in total bases. Fifth in the league in extra base hits. I mean, his name, you look up the league leaders across the Appy League, and his name just keeps popping up. He had a big walk-off home run on June the 14th, a 3-run shot that he absolutely demolished into left field. And the college player from Folsom Lake Junior College, on top of his great season here, has him going to Purdue next year, a big D1 school in the Big Ten. And I guess he likes the black and gold of the Doughboys and Purdue. So with that said, finally get a chance to brag on Logan Sutter. But for Brandon Decker, we're going to take a look. I've got his pitch counts. And the most pitches he's thrown in a game this year is 89. As a 1-0 fastball by the bat of Sutter, 1 ball, 1 strike. So with Decker's pitch count up around 75 or so, I would say this could be it for him. This inning, that is. 1-1. Outside, two balls and a strike. So Decker, if he can get out of this jam, give you six innings, that would be solid for the bullpen. Of course, there was an off day yesterday in the league, so everybody's fairly fresh. Decker takes a peek again at King on the fake throw to second. This is that dangerous part of the order for Johnson City. Sutter, the cleanup hitter, and a few big bats behind him as well, trying to get a little closer. 2-1. This ball gets away from Bargo, and now the runners advance to second and third. It's a wild pitch for Decker as things starting to unravel a bit here in the sixth inning. At the moment, there are a few state liners down the left field line with their hands on their hips, but as far as we've seen, no reliever has picked up a baseball and started throwing yet, as Decker's been that good, but in a bit of a jam here. Two in scoring position, the 3-1 to Sutter. Breaking ball, strike two. Big pitch from Decker, and here comes a big payoff. A walk loads the bases. A single scores two. Here's a 3-2 from Decker. Breaking ball, fouled up our way. Look out. Over our heads to the right. Sutter's a tough out. He's not going to go down quietly. We told you he's up there with Dalton Bargo in terms of hits on the year. His OPS is 990. I mean, that's just unreal this late in the year. 3-2 again. Hit hard to short, past the diving glove of Buchanan. King scores. And the throw home will not retire Barry. The throw back to first does not get Sutter as he's back in. And there's the big base hit that Johnson City was looking for. A two RBI single by Logan Sutter. And it's a one-run ball game. Bristol leads 4-3 here in the top of the sixth. So 4-3, our score, top of the sixth, one out, and Johnson City's not done yet. Spano the hitter, Sutter at first, and the pitch from Decker. Breaking ball just inside, ball one. And just like that, a few state liners starting to get loose out there down the left field line. One-oh the count, the pitch. There's a strike on the corner. That was good on good right there. The count worked full, 3-2, a couple foul balls. And Sutter finds one into left field to drive in two base runners. Remember how big that wild pitch was to get those runners into scoring position as well. 1-1 from Decker, inside ball two. So Spano on the day, we've seen him play some good defense. He has had two productive at-bats, singled in the second, and then a sac fly RBI in the fourth. Can he do something productive here again in inning number six? Decker checks on Sutter. He's in there safe. Nice pickoff throw by Decker. We're sort of getting to that part of the ball game where the starters are about to come out. We haven't had any pitching changes thus far, but I'd say we'll see some very soon. 2-1. Foul ball by Spano. It's out of play. Counts even. Trying to see down the line here who that might be getting loose for Bristol, and it looks like it's Aubrey Smith. Smith, the freshman from UNC Wilmington. 2-2. This could be two. Ground ball to Buchanan. Flip to Gould for one, and the flip was sort of a weak flip from Buchanan. Didn't have a lot of velocity on it, so Gould had to sort of play first base there rather than trying to turn two. So they do get an out. Spano reaches on the fielder's choice. Sutter is out at second. He's the second out of the sixth. And Decker's an out away from what is probably his final inning out there for Bristol. So Colby Backus has been held hitless thus far. We wouldn't expect that to continue too often. Backus, one of the better hitters in the league. First pitch to him. This one chopped to third. Kinneberg charging, but it's foul. Made a nice play on the throw, but ball was just left of the third base bag. Nice dig by Gardner over there, but again, doesn't matter. A little practice there on a dig for Gardner, if nothing else. So 0-1 to count to Backus. Today, a fielder, he reached on a fielder's choice in the second and grounded out to Kinneberg earlier. Backus representing the go-ahead run here in the sixth inning. So we've got a good ball game here tonight. The 0-1 on the way from Decker. Ball just a bit low. This counts even at 1-1. Now, Backus did not get a game in for Tennessee this year. But with a lot of players leaving the Volunteers, he very well could get an opportunity next season. 1-1, just a bit late on the fastball, 1-2. We told you about Backus' impressive year. He's top five in several categories, was the Appy League Hitter of the Month in June for his work at the plate. Of course, leads the league in homers, always a threat to go yard. 1-2, fouled straight back. We'll do it again. Backus, the local TV stations have done quite a few stories on Backus and a few of his teammates. He, Caleb Marmo, and Braden Spano all played youth ball here in the area together on the same team, and here they are playing Appy League baseball together. So 1-2 misses downstairs. Marmo, we told you before he came out of the game at Science Hill, he went to Wake Forest originally before ending up at Walter State. Colby Backus, Walter State, out of high school from Daniel Boone, now at Tennessee, and Braden Spano plays his ball at Milligan. 2-2. Oh, trying to get the corner was Decker, but a nice take by Backus. So three local Northeast Tennessee kids here for the Doughboys. Played together as kids and now get to play together in summer college ball. 3-2 the count, two outs. The aforementioned Spano will get a chance to run and get a head start. The 3-2, ball four. So Backus earns a free trip to first base. And we'll see if Decker can get out of this jam and preserve this lead for Bristol, as this pretty much is certain now that this will be his last inning. The question is, how much further will he go? Andrew Neal will hit here with two on and two out with a chance to tie the ball game or give Johnson City the lead for the first time today in the sixth. Neal 1-for-2 with a single. Pitch from Decker. Here's a first pitch strike. Neal's average sitting at 290. Oh, 1 the count as Decker tries to finish the sixth and keep Bristol out in front. Oh, 1 outside. Ball and a strike. Out of the corner of my eye down in left field. We told you that Aubrey Smith is getting loose. The ball got away from the catcher out there in the bullpen, and he chased it down into the field of play, but none of the umpires saw him, so they let play continue. 1-1 from Decker on the way. Down and in on a breaking ball. Nice block by Bargo, 2-1. So two outs, two on. Bristol out in front, 4-3. 2-1 count, Andrew Neal. A chopper to short, Buchanan, fields, he'll go to first, and despite the hustle by Neal, he's retired. It looked like Buchanan thought about stepping on the bag at second, but Backus' speed forced him to throw to first. Buchanan retires Neal, and Bristol holds the lead. It's 4-3, bottom of the sixth coming up on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Bristol is one community whose heart is a vibrant downtown, where our unique cultural and historical heritage is celebrated. Believe in Bristol is a nonprofit organization who recognizes the role a vital downtown plays in preserving and furthering our community. For more information, visit www.believeinbristol.org. And thanks for being a Stateliner sponsor.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Four to three, our score, bottom of the sixth inning, and here come those pitching changes we were talking about, as we'll likely see one on both sides. Johnson City will go first here in the bottom of the sixth as they bring on Jacob Poe, a lefty from Milligan University. So we're going to get you some numbers here on his season thus far. All right, taking a peek here if I can get this to work right. All right, so Poe, 1-0, 5.59 ERA, 9.2 innings, 6 earned, 6 hits, 12 strikeouts, and 3 walks. He's got an impressive whip, walks plus hits per inning, at 0.93. And he will face 5-6-7. Kinneberg, Gardner, Oblas, scheduled to hit against the lefty. So Kinneberg, a righty, and then two lefties. First pitch to Kinneberg, outside ball one. Kinneberg kind of had an interesting at-bat last time up. Doubled, drove in a run in the third, but it looked like the ball should have been caught out in center field. 1-0, Kinneberg lays off. Not sure if Marmo had had some kind of injury happen in the middle of the play, but he did exit the game shortly after that ball out to center. It just looked like he wasn't able to cover the ground that he normally is. As a 2-0 to Kinneberg, inside ball three, and automatic take here with a new pitcher and a 3-0 count. So Joe Kinneberg is 1-for-2 today. There's the automatic strike. So 3-1 to count to Kinneberg. Here's a 3-1. Swing and a miss. Thought maybe Kinneberg got a piece of it, but it just kind of skipped away there. So a full count here for the first batter faced by Jacob Poe this evening. 4-3 our score, the 3-2. Kinneberg fouls it off. I'll tell you, Poe works pretty quickly out there on the mound. Here's a 3-2 from Poe. Ball four. Nice at-bat by Kinneberg. Fought off a pitch there on a 3-2 strike that he was able to spoil. And he earns a leadoff walk in the sixth as Bristol's looking for some breathing room here after Johnson City has closed the gap a bit. And here comes Aries Gardner, who's 0-for-2. Now looking at Poe's game log here, in his last appearance was on July the 6th, exactly a week ago today against Elizabethton, threw two innings, three strikeouts, no hits, no runs. Pitched to Gardner, outside ball one. It started out kind of rough for Poe this year. Back on June the 10th against Greenville, he threw two innings, gave up 5 earned and 4 hits, but since then, he's been lights out. Only giving up 1 run in his next 7 2/3 of relief. 1-0 from Poe. Upstairs. Looked down at his hand almost to say maybe it slipped out of his hand. So 2 balls, no strikes. It is quite a humid evening here in Bristol. I guess that's a relative term. 78 degrees, but pretty humid. 2-0. Gardner lays off again, and it's 3-0. So Poe has gone 3-0 to the first two hitters he's seen. Nearly came back and got Kinneberg before he coaxed a walk. And again, an auto take here for Gardner. And there's a strike. This at bat a lot like the Kinneberg at bat. So if Gardner is able to reach, you got two on with none out, and it'll be Oblas who hits next. Excuse me, there, it looks like we're going to have a change in the on-deck circle. Looks like Easton Rooley may hit. 3-1, there's another strike. Gardner was ready to throw the bat to the dugout. So right as I was saying Oblast will hit next, I checked down into the on-deck circle and saw a right-handed hitter. Perhaps the lefty-lefty matchup will remove Oblast out of the game in favor of Easton Rooley. 3-2, the pitch to Gardner, strike three. So Poe works his way back from 3-0, was 3-0 to Kinneberg and walked him. 3-0 to Gardner and struck him out. Second strikeout of the day for Gardner. There's one out in the sixth, and here is the aforementioned Easton Rooley. So not quite sure. It's rare that you see changes like this, but I kind of get the vibe that with the State Liners struggling like they have, that maybe this is partly a defensive substitution as, well, excuse me, Oblast at the DH, so really won't be in the field. It probably just has to do with the whole lefty-lefty deal. Pitch from Poe. Oh, he's picked off Kinneberg. He got caught leaning. Throw down. He's retired. Oh, my. So Kinneberg leads off with a walk, and you're thinking things are looking good for Bristol. Poe strikes out Gardner and then picks off Kinneberg on a great move that had us fooled as well. So a pick off of Kinneberg, and now quickly two outs. So Rooley ready still for his first pitch seen from Poe. Here's the first one. Down and in. Well, the scouting report on Poe, if you're just scouting from tonight's game, he's thrown three balls to each of the first two hitters he's seen on the first three pitches. 1-0. Rooley went after it. One ball, one strike. Rooley hitting 289. Haven't seen him in a little bit. Nice to see him back out on the field here. 1-1 from Poe. Rooley, fly ball, out of play down the right field line. So one ball, two strikes. Two outs in the inning. Bristol nursing a one-run lead here in the bottom of the sixth. They jumped out 4-0 on the Doughboys before they responded with three in a row. 1-2 to Rooley. Sits back, pops up the breaking ball. It'll get out of play. Nearly took out a fan there down the right field side. So 1-2. Easton Rooley in his first at-bat, pinch hitting for Oblast, who is 2-for-2 today. So not sure if it's strictly matchup related or if perhaps Oblast is dealing with something. 1-2. Rooley fouls it off again. We've seen Rooley do this quite a bit this year. Two strikes. He's really good at fouling off pitches, keeping the at-bat alive, making life a little harder on the pitcher. It's only the third batter Poe has faced in the inning, and he's up to 17 pitches because he had some deep counts with the first two hitters. 1-2 to Rooley again, and that one's up our way. Look out. Off the press box, just to our right. Probably about 20 feet. To my right or so. As Rooley continues to fight off a couple two-strike pitches. Nearly two-thirds of the way home here from Bristol, 4-3. State Liners out in front for now. 1-2 again. Rooley up over our heads. Well, when Easton gets two strikes, don't get too comfortable. It might be several foul balls as Rooley's now hit five in a row with two strikes. So a good at-bat here from Rooley, who's earning his keep. How about another 1-2 pitch from Poe? Here it is. And that one is a weak fly ball to second base. That'll be squeezed by Neal. And only three batters come to the plate in the sixth as a nice bounce-back inning here and his first inning of work for Jacob Poe. So we've got a one-run ball game, seventh inning, coming up next on the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Located in the Highlands of Virginia, Emory and Henry College has devoted itself since 1836 to the belief that education can have a transformative effect on an individual, a place, and ultimately the wider world. The college is consistently ranked among the nation's best private liberal arts institutions, and their faculty have earned more state and national awards than any other college in Virginia. Learn more at www.ehc.edu, and thanks to Emory and Henry for being a Stateliner sponsor.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Bristol. 4-3. We played six. Bristol jumped out to a 4-0 lead. They grabbed a run in the first, the second, and two in the third to make it 4-0, but Johnson City has not gone quietly. In the fourth inning, they grabbed one run and then two more in the sixth to make it a one-run ball game, 4-3. We saw a pitching change come for Johnson City in the bottom of the sixth, and now it's Bristol's turn to make a change as Aubrey Smith comes in out of relief from the bullpen. Smith, the righty from UNC Wilmington, just wrapped up his freshman year down there. His numbers for Bristol this summer, he is 1-0, a 4.76 ERA, all six appearances coming out of the bullpen. 17 innings, giving up 22 hits, 9 earned runs, 5 walks, and 13 strikeouts. So he's been a fairly effective reliever out of the pen as Brandon Decker exits the ballgame, had really 5 really strong innings, got into a little bit of trouble there in the sixth, but the former closer for this team giving you 6 innings is not anything to be upset about. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, only 2 of those earned for Decker, 5 strikeouts and 2 walks. So here's Aubrey Smith, 8-9-1, will hit here for Johnson City in the top of the 7th inning. First pitch from Smith, breaking ball, hit sharply to Kenneberg, who made a nice play. His throw just in time to retire Jonathan Schwerub. One pitch, one out for Aubrey Smith. So Amon Dewberry, 0-for-2, struck out in the third and grounded out to the pitcher, Decker, in his last time up. Decker fielded it and went over and touched first base himself. It was so close to the back. First pitch to Dewberry, outside ball one. Nice take there by Dewberry. The pitch wasn't close, but anytime the leadoff hitter grounds out on the first pitch, you got to be a little patient. Dewberry's got some pop as well. 1-0. Also missing the zone, low and away. So for Aubrey Smith, I told you the lefty from UNC Wilmington, 8.27 ERA, 20 2/3 innings for Wilmy this year. 2-0. Again, missing outside. That's where all three misses have come for Smith here, as it's now 3-0 to the number 9 hitter, Amon Dewberry. Rio the count, Smith, a free strike if he can get it, and can't. All four pitches missed outside to Amon Dewberry. So there's a one-out walk in the seventh, and Johnson City brings the potential go-ahead run to the plate. It's the top of the order, Christian Toledo, the designated hitter. Toledo 0-for-2, did reach on a walk earlier tonight, scored the first run of the game for Johnson City in the fourth inning. Here's a pitch. That one misses low. Smith was struggling, missing away from the lefty Dewberry. Now his first pitch to the righty downstairs. Perhaps looking for a ground ball here, a chance to get out of the inning. 1-0 from Smith. Another ball. And 6 in a row from Aubrey Smith as Toledo is going to be taking here. Smith comes set with the runner Dewberry at first. See if Smith can throw one across here. There's a strike. A bit low in the zone, but it was in there. So 2-1 the count. Smith could get a ground ball and get himself out of this jam here. Here's a 2-1 from Smith. There's a ground ball. Buchanan has to sit back on it, though. A tough play. The throw to first, not in time. So a bouncing ball there by Toledo made life tough on Buchanan. He chose to stay back on the hop. And that catching it so deep with the speed of Toledo, he had no shot to throw him out. So Toledo, an infield single. Dewberry up to second. And now two on. And one out, Christian King with a chance to do some damage for Johnson City with that dangerous part of the order lurking. Smith takes a peek at Dewberry, takes another peek, and here's the first pitch. And there's that ball running inside again, 1-0. Smith in a bit of a jam here as Bristol has led from wire to wire thus far. Aubrey Long look at second, the 1-0. This one outside, 2-0. We've often talked about how the game changes quite often when new pitchers come in. Just a different look, different arm. Smith struggling a bit with control here, looking for a strike, 2-0. Here's his pitch, ball three. So, again, an automatic take coming for King as Barry will hit next. If King gets on, it'll be bases loaded and one out, putting the go-ahead run in scoring position. Smith ready. Here's his 3-0, ball four. Smith just... having a little issue here finding the strike zone. He got a ground ball on the first pitch of the inning as Jonathan Schwerb grounded out to Joe Kinneberg. But since then, a walk, a single, and a walk. And there's a chat here for Dalton Bargo, and now Coach Power is going to come out and have a chat as well. Now Bill Kinneberg points down to the bullpen and asks another pitcher to get loose, and I believe it's going to be Johnny Stevens out there. Stevens, one of the big power arms. He's got some good movement. And perhaps if he's got his A-plus stuff, he is very difficult to hit. So Stevens getting loose down the left field line. One out. Bases juiced. And Coach Ted Power, the pitching coach for Bristol, taking his time out there on the mound, trying to buy as much time as possible for Stevens to get loose. It just feels like Smith just doesn't have the control. We've seen a couple walks, and they've both been four-pitch walks. Bit of a rare outing for him. He has gotten one ground ball out to Schwerb. He had another ground ball by Toledo that was just a tough bouncing ball that normally you ask for a ground ball to shortstop, you're thinking at least one out, especially with a runner at first. But the State Liners were unable to get any outs on that ground ball. So the inning would look a lot different had that turned out in their favor. But as it stands now, the bases are loaded, one out, and here's the dangerous part of that order we talked about. Caleb Barry, the number three hitter. Barry 1-for-2 with a run scored. Pitch from Smith, again missing on that's about that same spot, 1-0. With several walks in the inning, you'd think Barry will be very patient here in the top of the seventh. 1-0 from Smith. Again inside, 2-0. It's got to be a little bit of just a mental thing here for Smith, who's shown he can get out there and throw strikes, just struggling a bit here. 2-0, bases loaded. The pitch. This one misses outside, and you just... Smith kind of spun around out there. Obviously, he knows he's having a hard time. Just can't find it right now. So 3-0, going to be an should be an automatic take here for Caleb Berry with the bases loaded. He does take, and there's ball four, and that'll probably do it for Aubrey Smith, I would imagine. As another four-pitch walk, that's three in the inning, as now Dewberry comes in to score, and that's the fourth run of the ball game. It makes it 4-4. We've got a brand-new ball game here in the seventh, and Smith just didn't have his A-plus stuff today. He'll head back to the dugout, and they'll turn it over to Johnny Stevens, see what he can do in the top of the seventh. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Teach each other, where you can learn from the greats or craft your own tune. Where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together. Where you can really get into the music. At the birthplace of country music, discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does, especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
All right, welcome back. Top of the seventh inning. We've got a bit of a situation here. Johnson City's tied the ball game. After Aubrey Smith came in and was struggling to find the zone a bit. Got the first batter he faced to ground out, Jonathan Schwerub, and then allowed four straight to reach base, including three walks, and all three walks were on a 4-0 count. So four straight balls, and that sends a new pitcher to the mound, Johnny Stevens, the righty, who's had a bit of an up-and-down season for Bristol in his first appearance against Kingsport back on June the 8th. Two innings, six earned. Not the start he was hoping for. Then had a nice appearance against Danville. One inning, one earned run. Then it was a tough one again against Greenville. Three innings, nine earned runs. Then another scoreless. Then his best outing of the year in relief against Pulaski. Picked up the win. Five innings, one hit, one run, 10 strikeouts, and four walks. So you know what you got with Johnny. But in his most recent outing against this Johnson City team, had another tough one. So we'll see what he's got today. First pitch to Sutter. A fly ball deep to left center field. Austin having trouble with it. He never saw it. The ball's going to drop in left center field. Johnson City's going to take the lead. Here comes King from second. It's a two-run single for Logan Sutter. As Jordan Austin, normally shorthanded out there, that one got lost in the lights. And This is that blow-up inning that we were afraid of here for Bristol. The pitching from Brandon Decker to start kept him in the ball game. Bristol was out in front the entire game, and now three runs in the inning thus far, and we're still not done. As Sutter picks up two RBIs on the single, Toledo and King come in to score, and here's Braden Spano. Breaking ball in there for a strike. Stevens with that nasty slider in there. So now Berry at second, Sutter at first. Stevens does his job to induce the fly ball. Johnson City was going to take the lead on the sack fly either way, but he didn't get an out on it. 0-1. Skips up and in. One ball, one strike. So let's see. One ball, one strike. Spano the hitter. Stevens staring in with two on and one out. Bristol trails 6-4. 1-1. And that ball downstairs. Two balls and a strike. In Johnny's most recent outing, came on July the 9th against this Johnson City team. Four innings, five hits, four earned. Had the big strikeout numbers with six, but also walked four. Two on the count. Here's a pitch. Breaking ball off the plate. Three balls and a strike. So 3-1, and you got to go back to that error that happened in the last inning. That's when Johnson City kind of got things rolling as Stevens looks at second. Berry back in safely. It's been a couple of the mistakes. That fly ball to center is not going to be ruled an error because it was lost in the lights, but some of the defensive issues have popped up here as well. 3-1. And that one past the catcher. It's ball four anyways. Big turn around third by Berry, but he'll scamper back. So more walks here as Stevens issues a free pass to Spano. And the bases are loaded again. And here's Colby Backus. And it just, Johnson City, we told you they're 22-8 coming into play today. That's just a really impressive record across the league. And it's just, When you give them a little bit of room, they just always seem to take advantage. Sign of a good team. They lead by two and have a chance to blow it open here in the seventh, perhaps. Pitch to Backus. Breaking ball outside. Now, interesting here, these are two college teammates as Backus and Stevens both played at Walter State previously. 1-0. Breaking ball. There's a strike to Backus. Backus does not have a hit in the ball game. He's 0-for-2 with a walk. Just kind of get the sense that he's due here. A base hit could really do some damage to Bristol's hopes this evening. 1-1 the count. Stevens ready to go. 1-1. Past the bat of Backus. 1-2. Stevens has got that electric stuff in that right arm. He can blow one by you. He can bend one past you. 1-2 the count. Breaking ball. There it is. Strike three called. So Stevens sends Backus back to the dugout. A huge out here in the seventh. If Bristol could keep it to a two-run game, you'd feel all right with nine more outs to play with, but again, things could change either way here on this at-bat by Andrew Neal, who is the ninth batter of the inning. Neal 1-for-3 with a single. There's a strike from Stevens. Good start here with nowhere to put Neal. The bases are loaded with two outs. Johnson City scored three runs in the inning. It's a 6-4 ball game. Stevens with a deep breath, the 0-1. Good-looking pitch, but must have missed down low. 1-1. The count. Neal the hitter, bases loaded, two outs. Breaking ball, there's the outside corner. Stevens did give up a walk to Braden Spano. He gave up an RBI single to Logan Sutter, but that was a ball that was lost in the lights. If he could get out of this with no more damage, that would be a huge win for the State Liners. 1-2. Stevens ready. The pitch fouled off, and we'll do it again. Nice job by Neal to stay alive. One, two again, the count. Neal steps back in after the foul ball. One of those big win probability jumps here either way, more than likely. 1-2 pitch. Hit out to second. Should be routine. Gould bobbles it. Flips to second. Oh, no. Buchanan can't field it, and everybody's safe. Stevens does his job. Gould fielded it off his chest. And Buchanan just couldn't handle it at second base. So we'll see who they rule the error on. I would assume it might be on Gould because of the throw. Had it been a good throw, I think the ball would have beaten the runner to second, but that is not the case. So Johnson City now leads 7-4. And here's Jonathan Schwerub for his second at bat in the inning. First pitch breaking ball, misses ball one. So they will call the error on Gould. And 1-0 outside. So let's catch up here. Barry has come in to score. Fourth run of the inning is Caleb Barry. Sutter moves up to third. Spano at second. Neal at first on the error. 2-0. There's a strike from Stevens. Sutter at third. Spano at second. Neal at first. Tenth hitter in the inning, Jonathan Schwerub, who saw the first pitch. He's grounded out on the first pitch he saw from Aubrey Smith. 2-1. Here it comes. Ball three. Nowhere to put Schwerub. So 3-1 the count. Stevens in need of a strike. If he doesn't get it, it's going to be at least a run. The pitch. Breaking ball. Ball four. So Schwerub down to first. That brings Sutter in to score. That's the fifth run of the inning. Spano to third. Neal to second. And coming into play tonight, you would have thought, with these two teams, the records, that, of course, anything could happen in baseball any night. But if I told you Bristol had a 4-0 lead through three, you'd be feeling pretty good. But Johnson City has come back and answered here with a few timely hits and a few free passes. 8-4. Here's a pitch to Dewberry. Ball one. It's one of those tough situations for Bristol, who's got Decker, who was excellent today in his start. He's also one of your better relievers, but you move him into the starting rotation, and that leaves you a little weaker in the bullpen. Here's a pick back to third. Runner safe. That's Spano who dove back in. Nice try by Bargo to try to steal an out there, as it's 2-0. The count. Stevens in need of a strike here. The pitch, there's one. It really feels like for Bristol, some of the mistakes they have made, they just kind of happen around the same time. The errors, had a couple mistakes here, had a ball get lost in the lights, had the error, had a few free passes. Leads to a big inning here. 2-1, there's a good pitch from Stevens as Dewberry couldn't get it. 2-2 the count, two outs. So 4-run lead for Johnson City as of now. Bristol's got some work to do, but first they've got to close the book on the top of the seventh. 2-2, strike three. So Dewberry, one of the high strikeout guys in the league, is down on strikes. But Johnson City piles it on in the seventh. They grab 5 runs, and they've got control of the ballgame. It's 8-4 as we get ready to head to the bottom of the seventh. And I think after that inning, we all need to stand, stretch, and maybe sing a little bit. So, seventh inning stretch, as you know, we're going to stay here. We're going to sing the seventh inning stretch. So, everybody do it with me. Stand up, get stretched out, and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
8-4 score, bottom of the seventh, coming up right after this.
Are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Bottom of the seventh inning. Got a brand new ball game here. We were tied for a bit as Gould fouls one off. Look out. Foul ball off the window here to our right. With one of those that kind of scares you up here in the box. Luckily off to the side as Gould bats against Jacob Poe. The 0-1 misses downstairs. So before we started the seventh inning, Bristol had a 4-3 lead. They led it at one time 4-0. But eight straight runs by Johnson City has shifted everything here in Bristol. So 2-1 the count, the pitch from Poe. Gould late on the fastball, two balls, two strikes. 8-9-1, Gould, Buchanan, and Austin. Scheduled to hit here. Here's a pitch. Gould again late, and he's down on strikes. So Poe has retired the first, not the first four, but he's retired now three in a row. He faced the minimum in the sixth. It's his second strikeout thus far, and here's Seth Buchanan. One out in the seventh, the pitch to Buchanan. There's a strike to start it. Buchanan 0 for 2. He flew out to left and then hit into a 5-4-3 double play to end inning number 4. Buchanan behind it again, 0-2. Just kind of feels like all the momentum has shifted here in the ballpark, and you can understand why. 0-2. Breaking ball, back door, didn't get the corner. One ball, two strikes. Here's a 1-2. Down and in. We saw Bristol fight back the other night against Elizabethton. As they came back, and it was a one-run ball game. The tying run in the bottom of the seventh inning on the doubleheader was thrown out at home as the 2-2 misses were full. Bristol fought back from two back against Elizabethton to almost tie it up. They've got their work cut out for them here as well. 3-2 inside, and wow, Buchanan down 0-2 gets a walk out of the at-bat. So quite the at-bat for Buchanan as now Austin will hit in the leadoff spot. And it's always a good thing when your number 9 hitter reaches base. And now a chance for the top of this order. You don't have to get all four of them back yet, but you'd love to start chipping away at it here in the seventh to make life easier later on. Jordan Austin does not have a hit yet in the ballgame. He's 0 for 3. First pitch strike. Austin, in the fifth inning, his last time up, tried to reach on a bunt single. Sutter, third baseman for Johnson City, made a great play. It looked like Austin beat it from here, but it was bang, bang. 0-1. There's a strike. Jacob Poe pounding the zone here thus far, despite losing Buchanan to a walk. 0-2 the count. Deep breath from Poe. They'll check on the runner at first. He's back in there. State Liners have some action down the left field line. Trying to get a look at the number here. I believe it might be Gage Allen. O-2, the pitch to Austin. There's a ball. Poe perhaps trying to be a little selective here ahead 0-2. Buchanan was down 0-2. He was able to get a walk out of it. 1-2 pitch. Austin, swing and a miss, waved at one. Good pitch by Poe. Second strikeout in the inning for Poe, 3 total. And now 2 outs. Here comes Eric Arado. Arado's had a nice evening. He's not been retired yet. A single, a double, and a walk. And he'll need to reach base here again if Bristol wants any kind of rally in the bottom of the seventh. Again, you've still got time to sort of mount a rally here, but anytime you get a runner on, you want to start chipping away. The pitch to Arado. Strike one. Arado's got the on-base percentage up to 770, excuse me, the OPS up to 777. 3 times on base will help that quite a bit. The 0-1. Arado fouls one to the third base box. Seems like Poe is pounding the zone so much he's getting to 0-2 counts on pretty much everybody. And then he just starts picking at the corners to try to get you to chase. 0-2 from Poe. Arado upstairs. Remember, Arado, one of the better on-base guys on the team. So he's going to try to work a good at-bat here with 2 strikes. 1-2. Oh, strike 3 called. Arado thought it was outside. And Poe gets 3 strikeouts in the 7th inning. He's got 4 total. And the potential rally is snuffed out in the 7th. 8-4 Johnson City as we head to the 8th on the State Liners Baseball Network.
At the birthplace of Country Music Museum, we're preserving the past and paving the way to the future. Where generations teach each other. Where you can learn from the greats or craft your own tune. Where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together. Where you can really get into the music. At the birthplace of country music, discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Welcome back to Bristol. We've got a new pitcher on the mound for the State Liners, and indeed it is Gage Allen. Sorry about that. Just got my mic cut out there. So Allen, the righty from Auburndale, Florida. We know we've got some loyal listeners down there that are going to be happy to see Gage in the ball game. Fourth pitcher of the day for Bristol. It started out smooth with Brandon Decker, but a rough couple innings here over the last 2, including Decker's final inning. A few errors in the field. You had a ball lost out in the lights in center field. Just kind of a combination of multiple things has turned it around, and Johnson City's stayed close enough to Bristol throughout the night, and they've made the State Liners pay thus far. So they'll call on Gage Allen to try to put up a zero here. That would be much welcomed, as Johnson City scored 7 of their 8 runs in the last 2 innings. It was a 4-0 ball game at the end of 3, and it looked like the State Liners were in control, but that has since changed. So, all right, let's get you some numbers here on Gage Allen. This is his 6th appearance of the season. 6.75 ERA, 6 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned, 6 Ks, and 10 walks. And it will be 1-2-3 here to hit for the Doughboys. And again, you can kind of feel just everything just kind of dropped off here in the ballpark. As the State Liners had the early lead, top team in the league is here. You're feeling pretty good. And then, boom, just like that. See some heads hanging on the state liner's side. But they've got two more innings to try to climb back into the ball game, and Gage Allen will try to put up a scoreless eighth. Here's Christian Toledo. First pitch, big swing and a cut, but fouled it right back. So 0-1. So Toledo on the evening, 1 of 3, 2 runs and a walk. Allen's 0-1 on the way. Inside as Toledo gets out of the way. Ball and a strike. Bit of a delay here. Toledo steps out, and now we're ready to re-engage. Toledo, King, Berry, the first three hitters scheduled for Johnson City. Allen working slowly, the 1-1. Breaking ball off the plate, 2-1. If Bristol was able to put up a zero here in the eighth, it is 3-4-5 coming up. Bargo, Books, Kinneberg. So a shot to grab at least one there, 2-1. Missing low from Allen, 3-1 the count. Final lines for the previous pitchers for Bristol. Decker went 6 innings. 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 of those earned, 5 strikeouts and 2 walks. 2-1. Well, that was a 3-1, rather, as it's going to be ball 4. So Toledo down to first. And a leadoff walk here in the eighth, and not the start you're hoping for. Here's Cameron King. To finish Decker's line for you, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. Pitch to King, hit deep to right field. Arado back to the track, a leaping catch against the wall. Nice play by Eric Arado for the first out of the eighth. Gage Allen is thankful for the play out in right field. Tips his cap. 1 out in the eighth. Here's Caleb Berry. Berry 1 for 3 tonight. He's got an RBI. Ground ball could get Allen out of the inning here. First pitch. This one popped out of play onto the football field to the right. 0-1. Berry with the 1 for 2 evening, rather. 1 for 2, 2 runs, 1 RBI, 1 walk. His average is up to 358. Oh, 1 the count. Allen leaves it upstairs. Ball 1. Take a look around the league here. Other scores in the area. Pulaski, how about that? An 8-6 lead over Burlington in the 6th inning. Danville leading Kingsport 6-3 in the 8th. Elizabethan leading Greenville 7-5 in the 8th. There's a swing and a miss. 1 ball, 2 strikes. And the other score, Princeton, already a winner against Bluefield in a low-scoring game. Doesn't seem like we've got too many of those tonight in the league. 4-2 the score as Princeton defeats the Ridge Runners. I know our friends in Elizabethan are hoping Bristol would pull this one off tonight. 1-2. The pitch from Allen, just outside. As we said, with Bristol, they've sort of, over their last couple of games, they've sort of played themselves out of a shot at winning the Appy League West. They're 9 back of Johnson City. They would certainly have to win both against Johnson City this weekend to even have a thought at it, but even then, it'd be a long shot. Runner goes. Strike 3. Bargo's throw. Not in time as it bounces off the glove of Gould. So a stolen base for Toledo. There are 2 outs in the inning, though. And here comes Logan Sutter. So 2 outs in the eighth. Runner at second. Johnson City leads 8-4. And Logan Sutter, who is 3-for-4 with four ribbies, has bumped his OPS over 1,000. Here's the first pitch to him, down in the dirt, 1-0. So a little more conversation on the standing situation. So coming into today, Johnson City 22-8, setting the pace across the league. Elizabethan in second place. They're 5.5 back. So they've got the best shot, but, of course, Johnson City would have to go a bit cold for Elizabethan to catch them. 1-0 from Allen, swinging a miss, 1-1. Kingsport's 7 back in the West. They are sort of in that territory. I mean, pretty much all the teams in the West are pretty much in the territory where it's like it's very unlikely that any team can catch Johnson City, but, of course, Elizabethan was at least within striking distance with a couple of games left with the Doughboys. 1-1 from Allen. Skips away from Bargo off his leg. And now Toledo to third on the wild pitch. So with Bristol, this is the first of four more games left with Johnson City. So hypothetically, I guess, if Bristol were able to go 4-0 in those games, they'd be within five, but even that would be a tough sell, especially considering the score here. 2-1 to Logan Sutter as Allen takes a breather. And we're going to get a new baseball here as the field umpire, Courtney Clements, after Allen reached back behind the mound, asked him to throw the ball in and swap to make sure there was nothing fishy going on, I suppose. So 2-1. Logan Sutter, the hitter. He singled in his last three at-bats. 2-1. Foul ball into the net. 2-2. Of course, you have to frame the whole standings conversation with the fact that only the first-place team in each division really gets to go on and play. The new system in the Appy League starting last year was that the top team in each division plays in the championship game against one another. So as it stands now, that's looking a lot like Johnson City and Burlington. 2-2 pitch, breaking ball. Oh, just missed. 3-2. That would have been a big strikeout there for Gage Allen. So now the count's full. Runner at third, 2 outs. Bristol could really use a zero here. Here's a 3-2. Foul ball out of play. Sutter is not going to go quietly. Again with Colby Backus winning the June Hitter of the Month in the Appalachian League. Leading the league in homers. Certainly worthy, but I would say his teammate Logan Sutter has a case as well. 3-2 again from Allen. Here we come. Foul ball again. Bargo unable to hang on to it. Frustrated with himself. Sutter kind of showing you tonight why he's one of the top players in the league. With the 3 hits, the 4 RBI. Wouldn't be shocked if it comes down to the two of them to be the hitter of the year in the league. And here they are on the same team. 3-2. Ball 4. Allen thought he had strike 3, but now Sutter earns a walk. He's now reached base in his last 4 at-bats. And the inning is alive. Runners on the corners for Braden Spano. So Allen, back on the rubber here with 2 outs and 2 on. First pitch from Allen on the way. Ground ball to third. Kinneberg has trouble with it. That's a base hit into left field. One run scores as Toledo touches home. Sutter advances to third. It's an RBI single for Braden Spano. And Johnson City has added another run here in the eighth. It's 9-4. Sutter goes first to third on the RBI single. So Bristol scores in the first three innings tonight. They led it 4-0. And now Johnson City has scored in the last three in 6, 7, and 8. As the first pitch to Colby Backus. Downstairs, 1-0. I think you're seeing a little bit about why this Johnson City team is so talented. You can probably beat them in a 5-inning game, but a 9-inning game is a tall task. 1-0. There's a strike. Backus today, 0-for-3. A strikeout and a walk. Allen in the stretch, the pitch just inside as Backus shied away from it. Again, 3-4-5 for Bristol coming up in the bottom of the eighth. A chance to get a few back if they can shut the door here in the eighth. 2-1 to Backus on the corner, and we're even. They just updated the scoreboard there. You're probably seeing it now. 9-4. 9 runs, 7 hits, no errors for Johnson City. 4 runs, 8 hits, and those 2 costly errors for Bristol. 2-2. Ball 3. That one downstairs. So a free head start here for Spano as Gardner steps behind the runner. 3-2 the count. Allen trying to finish the inning here. The pitch, grounded to third. Kinneberg, field, sets the feet. The throw across in time. Nice dig by Aries Gardner. Throw a bit low, but Gardner able to scoop it out of there. Johnson City gets one more. They lead 9-4, and Bristol's got some work to do when we return for the bottom of the eighth on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire-roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their 3 locations in Bristol and Johnson City. Thanks to Cootie Brown's for being a Stateliner sponsor.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Bottom of the eighth inning, Bristol trails Johnson City 9-4. If you were with us from the start, you saw Bristol take a 4-0 lead through three. And if you stepped away, like one message that I received earlier, what happened? Well, Johnson City got things rolling with the offense. It's been a few good timely hits as Bargo takes the first pitch he sees deep to left field. Backus chasing it in the night sky and puts it away for the first out on the first pitch of inning number 8. So, really not one thing, and that typically is how it goes when you have a big inning or a big score from a team. There was some timely hitting. You got to give credit where it's due, as now Jake Books will hit. But it was also a few free passes and also some big mistakes in the field. A couple errors. Ball inside to Books. There was a fly ball out to center field that got lost in the lights. So you combine all those things, and, well, that's what happened. 1-0. There's a strike to Books. State Liners down to their final six outs here in the ballgame. 1-1. Books takes one the other way. Again, out to left field. Backus tracking and puts it away. Two fly balls out to left. Two outs in the eighth, and here's Joe Kinneberg. So taking a peek at what's coming up for Bristol. We told you coming in they've been in a bit of a spiral. They've lost five in a row, lost 7 of 8, 2 and 8 in the month of July. And it doesn't get any easier as tomorrow night Johnson City's back here again. A 7 o'clock start on Friday. Expecting a good crowd here from Bristol. First pitch upstairs to Kinneberg, ball one. After tonight, just 8 home games left here for the State Liners this year. 1-0 on the way. Kinneberg fouls one sharply out of play. So if Bristol's unable to mount some kind of major comeback here with only 4 outs to play with, they would drop to 10 games behind Johnson City with 15 to go. 1-2 off the pole. So I wouldn't say that Bristol's necessarily mathematically eliminated, but it'll be all but eliminated at this point, I would think. 1-2 to Kinneberg inside. One thing we haven't talked about much is run differential in the league. It's often when you look at the majors, look at the standings, really the best teams are not even the teams with the best record, but they're the teams with the best run differential. As a 2-2 to Kinneberg, misses outside. It seems like it's starting to normalize a little bit around the league. For instance, Johnson City's run differential, how many runs they've scored versus how many they've allowed, they're plus 50. Elizabethan is plus 31. Has a 3-2, chopped out the short. Schwera behind the bag, quick transition, and he throws Kinneberg out at first base. So 3 up, 3 down. How about the effort by Jacob Poe in relief by Johnson City? They lead 9-4. We've got 1 inning to go. Stay with us here on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
For more than 85 years, Paramount Bristol has been a local landmark and cultural anchor of the Twin Cities. This year, multiple live music events are scheduled, including the Gatlin Brothers, Amy Grant, and Trace Adkins. Visit ParamountBristol.org for more information and tickets. Thanks to Paramount Bristol for being a Stateliner sponsor.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Top of the ninth inning, Johnson City in full control here after a late rally. They've scored 9 unanswered. Bristol took the lead early on. They led 4-0 after 3. They had scored at least 1 run in each of the first 3 innings, and you felt like things were looking up. But some costly mistakes by Bristol has allowed Johnson City to do what they do, get the offense rolling, take advantage of those mistakes by Bristol, and they've turned in 9 runs. They've scored 8 of those 9 runs in the last 3 innings, including 2 in the 6th, 5 in the 7th, and 1 in the 8th. And now Bristol kind of left picking up the pieces here. They certainly have got 3 outs to play with, and it's not over till it's over. But right now they're focused on putting up a 0, which they have not been able to do since inning number 5. So Gage Allen will get himself another inning out there on the rubber for Bristol. And it's Andrew Neal, Jonathan Schwerub, and Amon Dewberry scheduled to hit in the top of the ninth. So So Allen ready to go as Andrew Neal steps into the batter's box. Neal 1-for-4 has a swing and a miss on the first pitch he sees. Neal singled back in the third. Really, it was the last at-bat by Neal that kind of changed the ball game. As the 0-1 misses away, skips past Bargo. So Neal, in the seventh inning, he hit a ball out to second base, and it was an error ruled on the second baseman. There's been a couple of those tonight that have really changed the ball game. Ball and a strike to count. The pitch from Allen. Fouled sharply, 1-2. It was actually Cameron King who grounded into that error in the sixth that really changed the ball game. Brandon Decker came out in the sixth, got the first out of the sixth, and then it was a ground ball to second. Cameron King reached on the error, and then, for lack of better terms, all hell broke loose for the State Liners. Six runs following that error at second base. One ball and two strikes. Allen trying to retire the leadoff hitter here in the ninth. The pitch, it's inside. Two balls, two strikes. Interesting looking across the Doughboys stat line. Three of their nine players have accounted for seven of the nine runs. This one lifted out to short. Buchanan leaps up but can't get to it. It's a single into left field. Two hits for Neal. And another good start here to the ninth for Johnson City. So Jonathan Schwerub, 1-for-4. His hit came in the seventh inning. First pitch, grounded sharply to third. Could this be two? Kinneberg bobbles. He'll smartly go to first after the bobble. So nice play by Joe Kinneberg at third. Probably could have turned two, but with the bobble, just a good decision to go ahead and get the out at first base. So Neal up to second on the ground out. Schwerer retired. And there's one out in the ninth. Here's Amon Dewberry, the number nine hitter. Going back to those runs, Christian Toledo has three of the nine runs for Johnson City. Cameron King has two runs, and Caleb Berry has two runs. So those guys have been all over the base paths tonight, and it's really been late in the ballgame. In fact, Brandon Decker only faced nine hitters through the first three innings. That's how good he was. 1-0. There's a strike. So again, tomorrow night, Bristol hosts Johnson City again at 7 o'clock. The fourth game out of six between these two teams this year, all taking place in the month of July. 1-1 from Gage Allen. Inside, nearly clipped the corner. Dewberry tried to get out of the way of it. 2-1. So 12-10 record for Bristol in the month of June, but it's just falling apart here in July. A couple key injuries as well has played a part there. As a 2-1, misses downstairs, three balls and a strike. But it's been a fun year for the State Liners thus far, and still a ways to go. A much better season than the State Liners saw last year, where they only won 14 games total. 3-1, fouled off. So let me make sure I'm telling you right on this. And I believe it was 14 wins for Bristol last year in the Appy League. Here we go. Bristol 14-39 record last year to finish last in the Appy League West. 3-2. Popped up. Will it stay in play? Kinneberg into foul ground. Near the third base coach's box, and there's a pop out. So out number two in the ninth. So Dewberry retired. So here's Christian Toledo, who again has three runs in this ball game, but only one hit. He's been on base with a few walks as well. But going back to the State Liners, 14-39 record last year. Assuming Bristol is unable to come back tonight, they'd be 14-19 this year. So an improvement, not quite what they're looking for, but ground ball to short. Buchanan, big hop, plays it back. The throw to first. Again, a nice dig. How many nice digs have we seen from Aries Gardner at first base? So a 6-3 put out to retire the side in the ninth. Bristol trails by 5 as we head to the bottom of the last inning. Stay with us, folks. Ending coming up on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Need to pick up a few things after the game? Visit one of 5 Food City Bristol locations or shop online and get same-day delivery through Instacart. From frozen food, produce, or snacks, Food City is your one-stop shop for all your food needs. Thanks to Food City for being a State Liner sponsor.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
All right, fans, welcome back. Bottom of the ninth inning. And 9-4 lead for Johnson City. They've really turned it on here late, and they're in full control, and they'll go with one more change on the mound. And how about the designated hitter, Christian Toledo, who's going to come out and throw an inning with Johnson City, only needing 3 outs to go. So supposing that Toledo, as he's the DH, just losing the DH status, not that he'll likely won't need it again. So the DH goes to pitcher. And Christian Toledo will look to get the final 3 out for Johnson City. Toledo, of course, he's had a heck of a game. He's scored 3 runs at the plate and now off to the mound. 1-0 record, 2.45 ERA, 7 1/3 innings. He's got 12 strikeouts and 4 walks, 7 hits, 4 runs, only 2 of them earned. So quite the player here, Christian Toledo, and that seems to be the case for Johnson City. You go up and down their roster and you say, wow, what a player, wow, what a player. And they ended up with several of them on their roster here, and you can tell why their record is what it is, 22-8 on the brink of 23-8. So Aries Gardner, 6-7-8, the bottom of the ninth. Pitch from Toledo, outside, ball one. Gardner 0-3 tonight, looking for a base knock. 1-0. Good-looking pitch from Toledo, but it's outside, 2-0. So we talked about what's coming up. Again, we'll be back here tomorrow night. First pitch at 7 o'clock. I'll have the call for you on the State Liners Baseball Network. Toledo brings the pitch, 2-0. Gardner, sharp ground ball to first, fielded by Spano. Flips over to Toledo, and there's one down in the ninth. So here is Easton Ruley, who came into the ball game and pinch hit for Trey Oblas in the sixth inning. So his second at bat tonight. He had a great at bat, ended up flying out to the second baseman, but we've seen Ruley all year sort of fight off foul balls with 2 strikes. So, again, Johnson City here tomorrow night at 7, and then a four-game road trip for Bristol, two in Greenville, a day off, and then two in Kingsport. As a pitch to Rooley inside ball one. Then the longest homestand left is a four-game homestand as Princeton and Danville come to Bristol for the first time this year. 1-0 pitch inside to Rooley. But the teams from the Eastern Division, you only see those teams four total times. You play your own division six times. You play the other division four times. And there's some intricacies to that where you end up catching an extra game here or there, I think. But at least from the other division, you go to them twice and you come here twice. Actually, scratch that. I believe it's six games. Yeah, six games in the West. That's what it is. So in this case, Bristol has played Princeton already four times, and they've all been at Princeton, so two more coming up in their first trip to Bristol as the 2-1 fouled by Rooley were even. So six games against Princeton on the year. Bristol played Princeton the very first two games of the season and won both of them. Then they split at Princeton on July 6th and 7th to go. They're 3-1 against them this year. So Danville and Princeton making their first trip to Boyce Cox this year. 2-2 to Rooley in there for a called strike three, and Johnson City just needs one more out. For strikeout for Toledo. So Thomas Gould, the last hope here for Bristol with two outs in the ninth. First pitch, ball one. You kind of hate to say it, but it's almost like it was kind of a letdown, I think, for Bristol. They were up 4-0. I think they really were believing they were going to win the ball game, and then Johnson City just kind of took advantage of some of the Bristol mistakes, and the mood changed everywhere in the park. Johnson City's dugout, Bristol's dugout, the fans, even up here in the booth a little bit as well. So 2-0, Gould the hitter. Christian Toledo trying to shut it down here for Johnson City. 2-0, Gould swinging a miss. Elsewhere around the league, Pulaski, they're going to grab a win, looks like, perhaps against Burlington. They lead 9-6. They've only won six games all year, have the River Turtles. They lead in the bottom of the eighth against Burlington. First place Burlington at that. 2-1 to Gould. Swing and a miss, 2-2. Danville has just beaten Kingsport 6-4. That's a final. Princeton beat Bluefield 4-2. That's a final. Elizabethan beat Greenville 10-5 in a final. So the only two games going are this one and the Pulaski game we mentioned, and we're almost done here. 2-2, inside, three balls, two strikes. Toledo loses his hat, and he'll take it back to the mound to try to finish it off here. 3-2. Johnson City looking for their 23rd win of the year. 3-2 to Gould on the way. Strike three swinging. And that will do it. So 1-2-3 inning. And Johnson City has won their sixth ball game in a row. They're now 23-8. Bristol drops to 14-19. Bristol's now lost six in a row. They've lost eight of their last nine as things continue to be a bit of a struggle here for Bristol in the month of July, where they're now 2-9. So we're going to stick right here, give you some final stats, and have a brief postgame show before we let you go here. For Bristol tonight, Brandon Decker started the ball game, and his efforts on the mound made you think that Bristol was going to be in real good shape. He went six innings, five hits, three runs, two of them earned, five Ks and two walks. And then Aubrey Smith came on. He had a third of an inning, one hit, four runs, three earned, three walks. Johnny Stevens came in to get the final two outs of the seventh inning. Two-thirds of an inning, one hit, one run, no runs earned. That was kind of around the errors that we talked about. Two strikeouts, two walks for Johnny. And then Gage Allen had a nice appearance. Two innings, two hits, a run, a strikeout, and two walks. So all in all, a nice performance from Allen and some mop-up duty there late. For the Doughboys, Bristol got to the starter, Aiden Decker-Petty. 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 strikeout, and 2 walks. Jacob Poe was probably the player of the game for Johnson City outside of Logan Sutter. 3 innings, 4 Ks, 2 walks, no hits, no runs. And Christian Toledo gets the final out, or final 3 outs with 2 strikeouts in the 9th inning. A couple highlights for the State Liners. Eric Arado went 2 for 3 tonight with 2 runs scored. Trey Oblas went 2 for 2 with a run scored. So a couple State Liners with a pair of hits. Arado the only player to score more than once for the State Liners. On the other side for the Doughboys, Logan Sutter with the most impressive line. 3 for 4 with a run and 4 ribbies, a walk as well. How about Christian Toledo, who pitched the 9th inning but also went 1 for 4 at the plate and scored 3 runs because of 2 walks out of the leadoff spot. So the Johnson City Doughboys pick up their 23rd win of the year, 9-4 overall. 9-4 the score, 23-8 overall. Bristol drops to 14-19. And we'll have Bristol and Johnson City again here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll have first pitch for you at round 7, and we'll have the whole ball game here, as we always do, at home on the State Liners Baseball Network. We hope you'll tune in with us tomorrow night, and we'll see you soon.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.